Warning. This podcast involves discussions of a spooky and graphic nature, not suitable for children or the faint of heart. Strong language and mature content is present. Listener discretion is advised. You have been warned.
Hey there, Spooksters, and welcome to another installment of Stabby Snippets. It is Jessica, and I am, of course, joined by my favorite ghoul friend, Tara.
Hey, Spooksters.
And today we're going to do a little bit of a different thing here on Stabby Snippets. Instead of doing, like, one of us tell the other one a story, we're actually going to give you some updates on some cases we've already discussed. So I'm going to let Tara take it away at the beginning. She's got, I believe, updates on 3 cases. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to have her take over, and then I will give you the updates on my case with Sydney Moore and Heather Elvis.
Yes. Okay. So my first update is from our very first Stabby Snippet on the Cynthia Hoffman murder, or the Thunderbird Falls murder. So on August 9th, Darren Schillmiller had his arraignment, and that was held here in Anchorage. This murder took place back in June of this year over at Thunderbird Falls, and she was actually killed by her 2 friends, Denali Bremer and Caden McIntosh. Darren came into play because he had met Denali online and pretty much catfished her and said, "Do all these things, and I'm a millionaire," et cetera, et cetera. If you want the full story on that, like I said, this was our very first Stabby. You can go back and listen to that. Like I said, his arraignment was back in August. He did enter a non-guilty plea. What's odd about this, though, since the arraignment back then, I've sat on this case because there hasn't been any additional information. There's no information on a further court date, anything like that. So I'm not sure what else is going on with it. So we have Google Alerts set for this case, so I'm going to keep an eye on it. And when this pops back up, I will absolutely share that with you guys. But so far, that's the last update with that. And then the next case that I'm going to give you guys an update on will be from my episode in regards to Savannah Spurlock. So on Friday, September 6th, the Garrett County Circuit Court held David Sparks' arraignment for the murder of Savannah. If you might remember from listening to that one, she was a mother who went missing back in January. And then this summer, her body was found on his parents' property. And same as the last one, you know, of course, all of these you can listen for the full story, but essentially he was arrested. His arraignment was pretty routine. Nothing crazy happened. His lawyer, though, was the one to enter the non-guilty plea on his behalf. And his trial is going to be set for November 1st, pending there's no delays or anything like that comes up with him. So I'm going to be keeping an eye on his stuff. And then lastly, a more recent one was in regards to Michael Gargiulo, the Hollywood Ripper. He was the man who murdered multiple women during the late 90s and early 2000s, one of which had the most media coverage because it was Ashton Kutcher's then girlfriend. We're still waiting on the final sentencing on whether he will be given the death penalty or not. He was found sane at the time of his crimes, so that's a huge, huge factor in the sentencing, of course. This court date had been pushed back because originally it was supposed to be, I believe, this month, but now we are waiting until October 7th to hear the final verdict. After this, the trial will be held for his first victim, Trisha Paccio, which was in another state, but sadly, according to the few news coverage videos I watched on this, that trial probably will not go to court for another 3 to 5 years, which is insane, but how this shit goes, as we've seen. With that said, though, all of the families, including hers, will be able to have the opportunity to speak at this court proceeding next month to have their voices heard not only to the court, but make a statement to Michael themselves if they so choose. So after that concludes, I will absolutely be back with another update once I get more info if he's getting the death penalty or not. And yeah, that's really all I got. And like I said, in kind of all three of them, if you missed any of those and would like to learn more in any of those cases, scroll on back and you can tune into those Stabbies.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm going to give an update on the Heather Elvis case. I did a Stabby as a recent update, which just to kind of refresh the story, because we had done it as an episode way back. I don't remember when.
Quite a while ago. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a missing persons case. Tara and I had each picked a missing persons case and talked about it. And Heather was mine. And this story like has stayed with me because I feel like it needs to stay with someone. So as of my last, which I think was my last Stabby that I did, I talked about how Sidney Moore was going back to trial because in 2017 he'd gotten a mistrial because I don't 100%. Oh, it was a hung jury. That's why. I apologize. Yeah, it was a hung jury. It's right there in my notes. So on September 10th of this year, which is a Tuesday, which is like, what, 2 weeks ago?
It was pretty much as soon as we published your episode, this happened that weekend, right after, basically.
I did it because I was going back to court. So on September 10th of this year, they had their opening statements, everything. They basically presented evidence for 5 days. They called about 35 witnesses. Some sources say they called 32. Others say they called 35. And these ranged from like previous coworkers who knew both Heather and Sidney to forensic experts. They brought back a lot of the same information. One of the people that was called was Tammy Moore. You know, her. Her lovely self. Because now that the case is over, now that, because spoiler alert, he was found guilty.
Right.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
Seriously. Now that this has happened, they've released a lot more information to the public. And one of the big crucial pieces of evidence that the jury foreman said this was one of her big aha moments as a juror, like, yeah, he did this. There's security footage of outside their house. And you see Tammy and Sidney walk outside and they kiss. And then Tammy's sister is there and hands him something. I think it's a, what's it called? Like a shot vac. And they then proceed to walk out to his truck and spend quite some time cleaning this truck. So they spend a ton of time cleaning this truck out with this kit that Tammy's sister apparently got him for Christmas. And they just couldn't wait to clean this truck. Right? Like that's their story, is that she got him a gift and she just couldn't wait to give it to him so he could use it. Because that's how Christmas works. What is he, 2, 4? A toddler? Like, you have a 7-year-old. Your 7-year-old can wait till Christmas morning. Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Right. So they spend a long ass time detailing cleaning out this truck. And then they go farther out into the lot, like at the end, and they start to burn the rags that they use to clean the truck.
That's not weird.
That's not sketchy at all. Because I don't know about you, but even the jury foreman, who is a sweet little old lady, mind you, she was cute, like, want to call her grandma and love her forever. She said, you know, when you, I'm quoting her, when you have a good rag, you just don't throw it away. You wash it and use it again.
Exactly.
Which is true. Like, I think, like, I'm sitting probably about less than 10 feet from my husband's car washing kit, right? And he has those, like, microfiber chamois stuffs, like, that he washes because they're really good and they're expensive.
Right.
And if he were to dispose of them, he would throw them away.
Right. That's what I was going to say. Number one, you're not going to burn them. You're just going to throw them in the trash can like a normal human being.
Right. Apparently, their defense was that, and I guess it is known that they burn shit versus take shit to the dump. But I was like, wait a second. Like, we're talking like cloth. And I don't know how they do it in Myrtle Beach, but I'm pretty sure trash collection is the same.
Yeah, it's not paper.
You've lived all over the United States. It's pretty standard, right? Like,
right. When we lived in the South and we lived in a pretty rural area, and this was weird to me because this was the first and only time I experienced it. We did have a house where we didn't have the trash truck come to pick it up, but we had like the dump we would just go and take it to, but we had like the basic trash cans.
Oh, so it might be the same thing because they said that they would burn things versus just take it to the dump. But I'm still like, that's just fucking lazy.
That's kind of gross. Like, I don't know. That's bullshit. That's bullshit.
Right. So they had said to be people who burned. Another thing was the jury foreman said that it was weird that they spent so much time cleaning out his truck, because when they saw photos of the home and the other vehicles, they didn't seem like the kind of people who cleaned trucks or homes.
Mm.
So not only is this video pretty damning in the fact that they're out there, like, literally within days of this girl going missing, detail cleaning their truck out, which just seems to be, like, bad timing, because they had already been contacted by the police. But there's a moment or a few moments where you see Tammy, Sydney's wife, walk outside. She has a mirror in her hand and she's walking around this fountain that they have, and she's looking for, like, listening devices.
Oh.
Yeah. So she's, like, looking to see if there's anything, like, planted around it, like, underneath it. She's going through shrubs. So when you take this in conjunction with the fact that they are doing something out of characteristic, which is to clean their car, it's all well and good that his sister-in-law bought him a car kit. But I think it's really odd timing that you would have this car kit. What? She disappeared on the 18th and it was the 23rd of December that he opened this car kit.
Yeah, that's just a too close for comfort coincidence.
Right. The other thing is that they released more footage of the truck driving from Sydney's house to the landing and back. And honestly, like, I didn't know this before, but when I look at the footage from their house, their house opens up to water.
Oh boy.
So there's a huge chance that they just abducted her and took her back to their house.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why their timeline has always been their biggest strength, is because basically I think what they're trying to say is that they never had the time to kill her and, like, hide her body.
But if they're connected to water, then yes, they totally did.
Right, because they could just be. So they have the footage of this truck. So one would think that in modern trucks with GPSs, you would just be like, well, check my GPS, like, I was at home. So they check the truck out, and the SD card had been removed and then cleaned of activity on that night, and was giving an error message because they couldn't install it properly.
Of course it was.
Right. So this is a huge red flag for detectives. They're like, wait. Mm-hmm. So you're saying that if you listen to the original episode, it's like, no, because remember, I was on Facebook on my computer because it was, like, geo-tracked, essentially, right? And now we're over here. Well, I can't be all the way at Peachtree Landing because there's not enough time. But when you really look at it, there was plenty of time because they were only at the dock for under 10 minutes.
Right.
So we talked about our theories, like her not knowing Tammy was there, Tammy sneak up behind her.
Mm-hmm.
He do something to her. You know, you never know. So the prosecution presented evidence for 5 days. And then when they rested on September 16th. And the same day the defense began. And they rested somewhere between the 18th and 19th. The defense called a handful of witnesses, which included Tammy and also Moore's sister-in-law, Tammy's sister, to say, yes, this is why he was in the video cleaning the truck, was because I gave him the kit. Then the defense rests after about 2.5 days. And the jurors said that it was very minimal deliberation. They went in, they kind of talked about it a little bit, like, not very long at all. They turned around and took a vote and realized they were all on the same page.
Good.
Right. So then on the 19th of September, which was last Thursday, Sydney Moore was found guilty. They said this is the only time throughout the entire court case he showed any kind of emotion, is when he was found guilty, he cried.
Boo-hoo, you got caught. See ya.
Right, motherfucker. So there is a thing that he has up to a year from that date to, I believe, add any new evidence. So if he wants to confess to murdering her, he has up to a year, I think. I'll get Tara the information to put in the resources, because I was having trouble finding out specifically, because I just heard it being said here and there. So I will find more information about that for you guys. But they said that after the sentencing, you know, basically the family gets a chance to stand up before the judge sentences him. And they basically said, like, we need to know what happened to our daughter. Because the thing is, this is over for Sydney Moore as of right now, but this is not over for the Elvis family. Their daughter is still missing.
Yeah.
So when they made that plea, all Sydney said to them is, I wish I could give you more information, but I can't. Not, I'm innocent, so I can't give you information. I wish with my whole heart I knew what happened to Sydney so I could tell you. You know, I want her safe. I want you to have peace. None of that. Which is what I think an innocent person would say. Like, I too want to know what happened to Sydney because it would prove my innocence, right? No, it was, I wish I could give you more information, but I can't. So the jury foreman, so they said that they let the jury go before sentencing, but she decided to stay because she wanted to see what the judge did. And she felt like she made the right decision because of how it was. She also felt like she made the right decision because he didn't even look at the jury long enough to make eye contact with a single person.
It's because this dude's fucking guilty.
Oh, hell yeah. So he was sentenced to 30 years, just like Tammy, for the kidnapping and conspiracy to kidnap of Heather Elvis. Only time will tell. One of the things, I watched a video of her family after court, and one of the things that they said, that this is just the next step in their story. They're not giving up on Heather. They're really hoping that they get new leads. Maybe now that the case is over, someone might come up knowing that Sydney's not getting out in 10 years. Hopefully, you know, someone who knows something will say something, or they'll find her. One of the things I thought was interesting is the juror mentioned how this has affected Tammy and Sydney's family because they had kids. That's what I totally forgot, that they had kids. So this crime had so many victims other than just Heather.
Yeah.
It's Heather's family. It's their children. Like, no affair is worth this.
No.
So if you want more information on the whole story of what happened between Sydney and Heather, go back to the original episode. But that is what I have. I'm very happy with the outcome of this trial.
Mm-hmm.
So glad we can, for now, put this story to rest.
Yes.
So check us out on Monday for another episode and next Thursday for another Stabby. And we will see you then, guys. Bye.
Bye.